Alright, peace y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So in this video, we're going to be talking about the mysterious death of Stanley Kubrick. Alright, some may believe that, you know, he was murdered, or, you know, he just met his demise. But we're going to talk about what possibly happened to Stanley Kubrick, the Hollywood director of the movie Eyes Wide Shut. Alright, now Stanley Kubrick was born July 26, 1928. And was raised in the Bronx, New York. At an early age, he became fascinated with photography and often would skip school to roam New York City and take pictures he would later on develop during the day with his friend. He began to take photography more seriously and got his first shot with Look magazine, not even finishing high school. He then became an apprentice photographer at Look magazine, along with G. Warren Sloat. Now, Stanley Kubrick wrote his first article titled A Short Stay from a Movie Balcony. This was when he was only 15 years old. This actually gave him recognition as a writer and also a great photographer. Stanley's family was very poor, unlike the other Hollywood execs that grew up around the same time as him, but he was only able to save up $1,500 as an apprentice. But around this time, the budget to make a film in 1951 was $40,000. So Stanley actually rented a camera and shot his first documentary based on boxer Walter Cartier. In total, Stanley spent $3,900 to make the short film and wound up selling it to RKO Path for $4,000. It's a $100 profit. While playing chess in the park, he met with James B. Harris, who would show Stanley the ropes in Hollywood and also finance his filmography. Harris and Kubrick would move to Los Angeles and sign with Jav Agency to shoot their first film, The Killing. Now, The Killing didn't do too well due to a short notice with promotion, but Stanley Kubrick would go on to create other films, loads of films actually, that were somewhat prophetic in a way. Alright, one film in particular was 2001, alright, a space odyssey that depicted a future revolved around transhumanism. Another film that most people already know is Clockwork Orange, also The Spy Who Loved Me and Full Metal Jacket, which is actually my favorite. But one in particular he directed and wrote that we all know of is Eyes Wide Shut. Eyes Wide Shut was merely based on the proceedings of Hollywood parties, as some would call it, or a secret partaking of the elite that hosts a world of perversion and satanic rituals behind closed doors. In 1999, when the film was set to be released, Hollywood execs informed Stanley not to put out the movie. He was told to either remove a specific scene from the movie or it wouldn't be released. Stanley denied their request and submitted the movie anyway. Now, when he did that, the critics actually loved the film so much they couldn't resist putting it out to the public. But this action that he did would actually cost Stanley his life. Now, I'm going to show y'all a clip that actually took place about the film Eyes Wide Shut, where they wanted Stanley Kubrick to remove 24 minutes of the movie.
I got a call, and he claimed to be one of Kubrick's top assistants before he died. In other words, he was there all the way to the end.
Wow, that's getting good.
And he told me Kubrick kept muttering to himself that the Warner Brothers executives were going to hate his film. And literally, he quoted me as saying, when they see this film, they're going to kill him. Then, on the night that he showed them the film in London, strangely enough, he had taken up smoking again, which he'd been a chain smoker earlier in life, and he kind of slowed down, but apparently, you know, much to this guy's surprise, he was chaining again. And he waited in the lobby, really kind of pale and distant, and then the movie ended, and the door opened, and somebody walked out and said, Stanley, you need to come down here. And the door shut, and this guy said that he heard yelling for about 45 minutes, screaming and yelling. And he heard Kubrick say that, you know, you can't change my film. It's in my contract. And then Kubrick stormed out first, and he followed Stanley. And that was the last time we ever saw Stanley. I think the fact that Stanley died exactly 666 days before January 1st, 2001, the first day of the year of his greatest film, that worries me, I have to tell you. I think that's a signal, and I hope to, you know, the heavens above that he wasn't murdered, but somehow that seems like an Illuminati signal.
And this is a guy who'd already done Eyes Wide Shut back in 1999, and then right before the film comes out, you know, Stanley Kubrick ends up dead.
Right.
And he dies the same way that one of the guys died in the film. And the film, of course, exposes the cabal totally. And if you actually get the DVD and you watch Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman being interviewed for this thing, they are really freaking out about when they're asked questions about Stanley Kubrick's death.
For you, you know, I mean, now you look back and you say, well, what if something, you don't know. I mean,
Did he have any heart problems?
The man worked hard. I'd get faxes from him at 3 a.m, you know, and Christiane was there, and, you know, he didn't discuss that, you know, it was sudden, it was shock, no one said, though, you know, that was expected, you know, especially after a couple of days after talking to him. And
look at Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick, who you better believe got invited to things like this, and there's names very similar to George Soros in it, as, you know, the bad guy character, and his wife, he finds out, is really an occultist, and he died a day after refusing to cut 24 minutes of it. Well, they cut it. You better believe they cut out of this film.
Now, this movie, Eyes Wide Shut, was actually a true story depicted on the Rothschild Ball that took place years earlier. All right, on December 12, 1972, the Rothschild Mansion had a red reflection flickering outside of the mansion to give the illusion that the house was either on fire or there was some type of emergency there. Many famous celebrities were invited to attend the mansion party. The invites were written backwards and could only be read using a mirror, deemed from Aleister Crowley's Do Everything Backwards to Please the Devil. When I see this, right, I think of the concept of the moonwalk, with Michael Jackson walking backwards. Now, we all know that the moonwalk came from somebody else, but the fact that it was popularized by Michael Jackson, it just makes me think. Now, actress Audrey Hepburn and another woman wore birdcage masks to allude to MKUltra mind control at this mansion party. They even had men gathered around a female mannequin laid out to represent a female being sacrificed on an altar. Now, I want y'all to take a look at this Marina Abramovich cannibal cake party, right? And Katy Perry's Bon Appetit video. This also brings to mind with Kanye West's party where he had a woman laid out on a table, right? Now, some people may call this art, but if you really pay attention to it, this is all occult practices. Take a look at the menu that was presented at the event. See here, they have soup still alive, but they changed it to lucid, right? Got corpses on the menu. You know, this is kind of weird, to be honest with you. It's kind of weird that they had this at this Rothschild party, but, you know, it's not a surprise to us at this point. Now, what I want to know is what was in that 24 minutes, okay, that Warner Brothers wanted removed from the movie, Eyes Wide Shut. Now, Warner Brothers actually went on to claim that it was removed to be able to give the movie an R rating, right? But that just lets me know that, you know, the scene was too vile to actually show to people. All right. So they had to have that removed. All right. Now I'm going to show y'all this clip as well.
Don't you want to go where the rainbow ends?
Well,
and I'm sure you've heard the rumors.
The moon landing?
That's right.
that the moon landing was fake. The moon landings all were fake. And I was the person who filmed it.
You're serious? And okay.
I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Because I only have this certain amount of time with you, and I'll talk about whatever you want. You know, this isn't some type of joke or film within a film thing.
It's not a joke. Nope.
Okay.
The conspiracy theorists were right on this occasion.
Why?
I don't know about Paul McCartney's death, but they were right about it.
Okay. Why in God's name would... I don't know what to ask you first. Why the hell... If you're telling the truth, why would you do it? Why are you telling me? I mean, what the...
Don't you think it's important for people to know the truth?
Yeah, I got... Yes, certainly.
They had a massive fraud, an unparalleled fraud perpetrated against them. They should know.
Okay.
I mean, they're already suspicious of the government. They may as well have their suspicions confirmed.
Okay.
Well, justified.
And this, why now? I mean, we're almost at the 30-year anniversary. What took so long? Why, if this is true, why?
I won't go into that. It has to do with personal.
Okay.
Evolution and influences.
And, well,
I'll go into that.
Is that why you look a little haggard right now? Because you look a little worn, no offense. Like,
well, also, yeah, because I haven't been taking care of myself too well. I've been drinking a lot, but.
Is that because of the stress of this?
Of course. Stress, guilt, just conflict of all kinds.
Wow. I mean, so you feel bad about this, clearly. I mean, this is not...
I do feel bad about it. I also feel proud of it. It's a terrible conflict.
Because you've pulled off one of the greatest hoaxes ever because of your...
And because I made a film, if you want to call it a film, which I consider to be my masterpiece.
And you can't take credit or even talk about it as a.
I'm hereby taking credit.
Right, but you can't actually go out. You're doing when people see this, you'll be dead.
Until 10 years.
Right, or 15
years,
yeah. So you can't talk to Roger Ebert about it. You know, does that frustrate you?
I have to pay the consequences for the decision that I made many years ago to go along with this.
Like a deal with the devil.
It's Faustian, to be sure.
Because, and is that why you got such power in Hollywood? I mean, that would explain that.
Why I have the freedom I have, that was part of it, yes.
So they said, do this moon thing and we'll give you...
When I made Spartacus, I didn't have this kind of freedom.
Right.
But I have it now.
So what came first,
NASA,
the genius or the fraud? What came first, the genius or the fraud? I mean, did the fraud enable the genius, or was the genius released by the fraud?
I think the genius came first.
Right.
But some frauds are hard to bypass, especially if you have an ego and you're an artist and you're presented with a challenge, the likes of which you've never seen and will probably never see again. You don't even think of the morality of it. You're just completely swept away by the flattery of it and the juices inside you, which make you want to do it as the artist you are innately. You don't think of anything else.
What a conflict. I mean, gosh, I can't imagine being presented with that opportunity. On one hand, I really would want to do it, but then I'd probably say, well, I'm committing a crime and... lying and...
It depends, but my guess would be, no, if you're good, you would do it. I discussed this with Levinson, Barry Levinson.
Right.
I discussed it with...
Oh, he made Wag the Dog, right?
Yes. Spielberg, of all people, believe it or not, yes.
So wait, Wag the Dog?
Coppola, Scorsese, even Woody Allen, I discussed. There isn't one of them who wouldn't do this.
Right. And did that? So Barry Levinson must have been influenced by this whole. He must have known. So that's Wag the Dog is about this whole idea. I mean, that's why.
The character was named Stanley.
Right, and he gets killed at the end because he demands credit.
Here by Stanley Kubrick to more or less ensure the scientific integrity of the film, to make sure that it's very, very close in reality, but still we want to make certain that it has a base of reality.
Before the end of the 60s, we will see a man in the moon, to the moon, an American, and we're very proud that our country continues to produce these young men who go so far and carry with them so much.
Now, many people believe that Stanley Kubrick was killed by Hollywood to prevent those scenes ever being released, right? Because he had the actual clip of what took place, right? Now, in the 1975 Church Committee hearing, it was revealed that the CIA did, in fact, have a weapon capable of causing heart attacks.
Also, I had to find, one time they wanted me to find... to find out if there was such a thing as a poison that was undetectable, especially one that seemed to mimic a heart attack, that would kill someone, but it would appear that they had a heart attack. I did find such a thing.
Does this pistol fire the dart?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman. And a special one was developed, which potentially would be able to enter the target without perception.
The poison was frozen into some sort of dart, and then it was shot at very high speed into the person. So at, when it reached the person, it would melt inside them, and the only thing would be like one little tiny red dot on their body, which was hard to detect. There wouldn't be a needle left or anything like that in the person.
But also the toxin itself would not appear in the autopsy?
Yes. So that there was no way of perceiving that the target was him.
Now, when I see this, right, I just think of the whole concept of, you know, people saying, oh, he died of a heart attack. But that just confirmed it, that they have weapons to actually do that. All right. So when I seen what took place with Stanley, you know, they have ways of, you know, causing certain things to happen and you not knowing what took place, right? Another point that I want to point out is that Nicole Kidman, who was actually in the movie Eyes Wide Shut, right? Her father, Anthony Kidman, which I didn't know, was actually a high-level Satanist, right? And also a part of Aleister Crowley's OTO, all right? Here's a video of one of his accusers basically admitting that, you know, he, you know, partook in some disgusting acts when she was a child.
Throughout my childhood, I was a victim of Australia's VIP ring. For example, I was prostituted to pole parties at Parliament House, Canberra, and to an international leader at Fairbairn Military Airport. The people involved in this elite pole ring included high-ranking politicians and judiciary.
Now, did Stanley Kubrick reveal the secrets of the elite and basically suffer the consequences? I truly believe so, right? Now, the reason why I say this is because a lot of his films, he was basically the first one to do predictive programming. A lot of the stuff that, you know, the movies that he created, you know, we see today, you know, Space Odyssey, you know, Clockwork Orange, you know, the fashion considered in there. It's a lot of stuff that took place in his movies that, you know, are actually coming to fruition. All right, we already know about the Rothschilds and these weird mansion parties that go on. But the scene that was removed possibly got him, you know, murdered in all honesty. Okay, so when we take a look at this, and then the whole concept of the, you know, they killed him 66 days or whatever after the movie was, you know, set to be released. It's weird stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, the higher up you go on that ladder, the more dangerous it gets. All right. So I hope I broke this down for you guys and, you know, made it clear for everyone to understand that this business can be very dangerous. All right. So with that being said, y'all, I'm going to get to more videos for y'all, and hope you guys stay blessed and have a blessed week. Peace. In this video, I will discuss the use of programming through broadcasting and how we've become desensitized to the use of profanity and overly sexualized content. Louis Dickey Jr., who was a Jesuit Catholic of the Austrian descent, attended St. John's Jesuit of Toledo, Ohio.